All right, the title of my sermon here this morning is, Do You Prepare to Win or Do You Prepare to Fail? Are you winners or whiners? Somebody maybe at one time has whined once in a while. I've whined a couple of times. God, why? Well, my word says, right? Oh, okay, I better quit whining then. But so ask yourself, in anything I do, do I prepare to win or do I prepare to fail? Oh gosh, what are you talking about? Why would I prepare to fail? Well, some of us prepare. You know, you prepare to fail by you say, here's some things that you may have said. You may not have realized this, but this was preparation for failure. I've never been any good at singing. Speaking, leading, fill in the blank. I've never been any good at. That's preparation for failure. Words and actions prepare us to succeed or they prepare us to fail. Who's ever said, I can't before? Or who's ever said, I'll never before? Those are failure words. And we're not failures. We don't fail. We have Christ living on the inside of us. The greater one is on the inside of us. So there is no way in the world that we were designed to fail. Can't fail. The only way we fail is if we don't prepare to succeed. And there is preparation that needs to happen when we prepare to receive. Now, this seemed like a strange question. Why would I prepare to fail? Of course I want to win. Now, if you ever play me in Monopoly, and I'm winning, and you say, I think I'm just going to quit. No. You don't quit till I have all your money, all your hotels. That's how I play Monopoly. I play to win. I don't go into anything expecting to fail. Do I get knocked back from time to time? Do I get pushed over this way from time to time? Yeah, but the greater one's still on the inside of me. So I'm still winning. I'm still operating from a position of victory. And I'll always be operating from a position of victory as long as I put in the work, as long as I put in the effort to prepare to win. If I don't put in the work, if I don't put in the preparation to prepare to win, then the devil can have free reign. He can influence me one way or another. We talked about on Wednesday night in Romans chapter 4, talking about Abraham, and it said, he staggered not at the promises. We don't want any stagger knots. We want stagger knots, actually. And I think it was Annie that brought it to my attention. I never really thought about it this way. When we're talking about stagger knots, we don't want to be stagger knots. Have you ever seen somebody that's drunk? They're staggering this way and they're staggering that way. They may fall in the ditch over here and they're laying in whatever it may be. We don't want stagger knots. And in order to not be a stagger knot going from one way to the other way, wavering this way, wavering that way, there's preparation that needs to happen. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, starting with verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Question mark. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, things that would come against us, things that would cause us to stagger this way or stagger this other way, those things coming against us, if we haven't prepared beforehand, then these things can have an effect on where we're at. They can have an effect on our future. They can have an effect on tomorrow. They can have an effect on the next 10 minutes. If we're sitting there, we could be sitting here right now thinking something's going on in our personal life and you're concentrating on that. Been there. Concentrating on that instead of concentrating on, man, God, you've got a word for me today in order to deal with that situation. I want to prepare for when I leave this place to be able to deal with that situation. But it goes on here, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How can this verse say this in the midst of all that adversity that was going on there? It's talking about persecutions and distress and famines and nakedness and peril and tribulation, all these things that are coming against us. But yet it's saying in all that come against us, because they will come against you. We're in the world here. It says even in the midst of all of that, even in the midst of what we're going through, we are still more than conquerors because of what? Because of Him who loved us. Preparation gets us to realize that He loved us. We're more than conquerors. When all these things come against us, then we can succeed because we spent time with Him, spent time in the Word, preparing for those things when they do come. So this verse, to me, when I was reading it, it was kind of like it's asking a rhetorical question like, who shall separate us from the love of God? Lists all these things? Yeah, that doesn't matter. All these things here, they don't matter because I'm more than a conqueror because of Him who loved me. So here's the question you ask yourself. If you fall down seven times, do you stay down? Fall down seven times, do you get up on the eighth? And you keep on moving. It says all these things are going to come against you. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials. Oh, so trials are coming our way. That's the Word of God. And we'll touch on that verse here in just a little bit. But count it all joy. Why? I'm prepared. When those things come my way, I'm prepared to deal with those things. So most of the time, though, now this, I'm not saying everybody here, but it's just in general, most of the time, do we do what it takes to win, or we do what it, or do we just do what it takes to compete? Yeah. Do we do just enough to get by? Do we do just enough to say, well, I'm going to heaven, but when persecution and famine comes my way, I'll endure it. I'll bear my cross. I'm not doing what it takes just to compete. I want to do what it takes to win. And in order for me to do what it takes to win, there has to be preparation. You know, people talk about how I wish I had the faith of Brother Hagin and Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne, and you put a name in that blank there. Have you done what it takes to get that? I mean, they weren't perfect. Believe me, they weren't perfect. And they would tell you today that their faith could have been greater in a lot of areas. But they put in the work. They put in the preparation time to be able to stand the way that they stand, for people to look at them and say, oh man, I wish I had that faith. Have you prepared? Are you putting in the work to have that same kind of faith? As I was thinking about this lesson here today, there's a couple of things I wanted to look at, and it says, but I said here, but there's an elite level beyond natural ability. Natural ability and natural talent will take you so far. Natural ability and natural talent, you might play high school basketball. You might even play junior college basketball someplace. But there's an elite level that will take you to the next level. If you haven't put in the preparation, your natural abilities will take you so far, but they'll only take you so far. But there's an elite level beyond natural ability that requires greater preparation. I watch shows on, anybody watch BritBox, British TV? I kind of like British TV. I've got those on our TV thing at home. And I can spend the evenings watching BritBox. Father Brown, Sister Boniface. There's another one we just started watching. It's got like 450 shows, so we'll be watching that one for a while. But anyway, we could be watching those all night, every night. I watched a little bit last night. But at about 7 o'clock, or I think it was, I said, you know what? I got to go in the other room. I got to spend time with God. I got to spend time looking at this lesson. I got to spend some time with Him. I got to get away from that stuff there. I could have watched that, come here today and read my notes, or I could have put in that preparation that's required if we want to go to the next level. The elite players, the elite people will go to the next level. And how are they going to do it? Greater preparation. We can't just be a Christian and not walking out the Word of God and expect things to fall on us. I used to say ripe cherries on a tree, but the cherries never make it to the ground. The birds eat them. So we're going to say like ripe pears on a tree. I can't float through life as a Christian, never crack my Bible, never pray to God, never spend time with other believers, and expect to go to the next level. All of those things are preparation time. And there's other things we'll talk about here, talking about preparation. But there has to be greater preparation in order to be an elite player to go to the next level. Preparation time is never wasted time. Carrie and I were in Fairbury for 29 years. We spent 29 years in the same church, being a part of what was going on in that church, worship team, preaching on whenever I was needed, Wednesday nights, mowing the grass, fixing the trim, changing out the float in the toilet bowl, cleaning the church, whatever it may be. Guess what? Even in the natural, that's preparation time. If you're faithful to do those types of things, I believe that helps to propel you to the next level. If you're not faithful if we are not faithful to do, let me say this right. I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not trying to offend anybody. But if we're not faithful to be a part of what's going on here at Life Point Church, yikes. Some people would say that's almost selfishness. Don't be offended. Don't be mad at me. But if we want to go to the next level, we have to be a part of the kingdom of God in all areas. We got a 50s dinner going on the 20th, I think it was, on the 20th. If you're over 50, be there. They say the chicken's good anyway. I've never been to Yoder's. I almost went one time. But we'll get there eventually. But we got to be a part of what's going on. So the question, do we wait for practice to start or do we prepare for practice to start? Are we preparing all the time? Practice the things of God, just like in the natural, a sport. We should be practicing all the time in our home, in our safe place. The church, this church here is one of the safest places you'll be as a Christian. And so if I speak a word from God and it's totally goofy, it's possible. I should feel safe in knowing that nobody's going to condemn me. Nobody's going to say, ugh, man, I'm leaving that church. He don't even know what he's talking about up there. We should be able to prepare for what happens out there inside of this place. But it's always, always about preparation time. It doesn't matter whether it's a sport you're preparing for, crocheting, which our other preacher's wife, when we left our church up there, she got me crocheting needles and a thing of yarn. Because I would always tease her about the women's group. Yeah, I did the announcements there. Yeah, the women's group is getting together this week, and they're going to be working on different crocheting stitches and things. Yeah, she didn't think that was too funny. But anyway, they were called Women of Faith is the name of their prayer group. But I would always tease her about it, so she sent me off with crocheting needles and a ball of yarn. But anyway, but what are we doing in the off season? What are we doing when we're sitting at home? What are we doing during the week before we come back to this church? Are we consumed with life, our jobs, our kids, mowing the grass, whatever it may be? Are those the things that consume us? Those are all things that need to be done. But what are we doing to prepare for the things that God's called us to do? Because we come across people every single day that need Jesus or need to be encouraged in some form or fashion, that we need to be prepared to have a word for them whenever they confront us with that situation. Some people will ask you, hey, how you doing today? They really don't want to know how you're doing when they ask that question. But if somebody asked me, I'd done this before, hey, how are you doing today? I said, well, you got a minute? Yeah, they really weren't expecting that. But you know what? If somebody says, do you have a minute? Are you prepared? Have you been praying? Have you been in the Word? Are you praying, God, give me somebody to talk to about you today? It doesn't matter who it is or where they're coming from. Give me somebody to talk to about you. We need to start taking our Christian life, our spiritual life, more seriously than we do. Because a lot of times, the church world will forget about God after Sunday at 12 o'clock. And then they'll be reminded about Him on Wednesday, and then be reminded again Saturday night before they get up to go to church in the morning. Can't be like that. An elite player, an elite athlete, trains all the time. I knew a baseball player out of Bloomington. He played for the Houston Astros. He was a third base coach for the Tampa Bay Rays and a third base coach for the Boston Red Sox. He ate, slept, dreamed baseball. It consumed him. In order to get to that elite level, it had to consume him. In order for us to, as Christians, to get to the level that God wants to be, it needs to consume us. And not only, and when I say consume, I don't mean that He's saying ignore everything else. Because it says if you don't take care of your own family, what are you? You're worse than an unbeliever. He wants us to take care of those things. But He also wants us to be able to, wants us to prepare throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year. Be in the off season to be preparing. When we're sitting at our home and we're not faced with anything on the outside world coming against us, we should be preparing for when we walk out that door to be able to face those things. Elite players, elite Christians will prepare themselves to do the work of God. There are only two options for elite people. Elite people don't wait for anything to start. They don't wait. They initiate things. They prepare themselves. And when they walk out, they're ready to go. And elite level people, they prepare at all times. They're always in preparation mode. My son-in-law, Max, he used to teach school down in Casey, the giant everything, you know, rocking chair, pencil, ruler, they got everything down there. He used to teach school down there. Well, he was a junior high baseball coach. And so, here, I'll help you shut that off, Lonnie. But he used to teach high school or grade school, junior high baseball. He had them, and they were preparing, even in the off season. It's winter time. You're in the gymnasium. You couldn't call it baseball practice, but it's called open gym. But he would have them in the gymnasium. They're practicing throwing. They're practicing ground. In the off season, baseball's not for another 4 or 5 months, but they're practicing ahead of time, preparing for that time when baseball season starts. And so he took that baseball team who had never been to a state championship before, and he finished second in state that year. Last year, he coached in Henry, Illinois, just 30 miles north of Peoria. And same way with that school there. He went in there, and my son-in-law, he's a disciplinarian too. he's the type that if you mess up, I don't care if you're the best player on the team, you're not playing. You're sitting the bench. That's just the way he operates. But he did the same thing with them. Practice all year long, all year long, all year long. His first year as the high school baseball coach in Henry, Illinois, he took the team to the state championship and finished second in state. How do you do that? Preparation. Elite level players will prepare even when it's not in season. Even when we're not out in the world, walking in the mall out here, I went in the mall for the first time the other day. But even when we're out here walking in the mall out here, and we're doing what we do around the city, the towns we live in, the city of Mattoon and Charleston, all these different areas, the things that we do, before we go out there, we need to be preparing here in order to go out there and in order to be effective out there in the things that God's called us to do. We need to be elite Christians. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. You heard a song here this morning about it. We need to. Do we? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Do we want to know Him more? If we want to know Him more, we'll spend more time with Him. If we want to know Him more, we'll prepare for the things that He's put in our life. He's spoken things into people's lives in this congregation that they're not doing right now. There's things that God has called people to do that they're not doing right now. And why? There may be circumstances that obviously would keep them from doing it, but sometimes it's just that it's hard. I'm tired. I've been tired on Wednesday nights. I don't want to go to church. And God says, but Rick, you're the praise and worship leader. You have to be there. So I get up and go, and I was glad that I went. But it's all preparation. It's all preparation. So do we have a pre-practice preparation routine? We're practicing before practice. We're practicing at home. When we come into church, into the safe place, this is our pre-practice, and from our pre-practice, then we're going out into the world. Do we have a routine? Is there something in our mind that we're thinking that we need to be doing in order to be able to do the things in the body of Christ here at this church and beyond? Do we have a pre-practice routine? Or do we watch BritBox? I like BritBox. Or do we watch BritBox? So the next question is, how similar is our pre-game routine to the actual game? How much time are we spending in the Word? Applying the Word, the things that God's told us to do. Is our pre-game getting us ready for the game? We need to prepare before. I had the previous job that I had, we would take guys to court and take them to the hospitals and things like that, and Department of Corrections. And there would be newer guys that come on to the RIT team, and I'd been there a little while, and I would give them scenarios before we would even leave. I said, okay, if you're pulling up to a stoplight, you're up in Chicago, you've got your guy in the back, it's the city they're from, we're totally outarmed. I mean, they got weapons bigger than what we're going to have, and you find yourself pulling up to a stoplight behind a car, what do you do? I tell them, I said, you never get too close to the car ahead of you. You want to have a way of escape, right or left, in case somebody were to come up behind you and pin you in, you've got a way of escape. I said, you got to think about these things before they happen. And other things like that I would run them through various scenarios. Preparing, preparation, before you're actually faced with the situation. Some of them took it and said, yeah, that's good. Some of them were like, yeah, I know that. Well, do you? But I wanted to make sure, if I'm involved with this person here, I want to make sure that they were ready to go. They were ready to do the things that needed to be done. But in this practice, in this preparation, we need to practice like we play. You need to practice at the same speed you'll play with on game day. Huh. If you don't practice the same way that you'll play on game day, you're not prepared. If you practice running down the court like this and practice, game day is not like that. Game day is at an all-out sprint. And if you haven't been practicing like you would play on game day, you're not ready. If we're not spending time in the Word, we're not spending time with God, if we're not preparing to do the things in our homes and in our churches before we head out into the streets, we're not ready. We won't have the words to say. If we haven't been in the Word, Lord will give me the words to speak in the time that I need them. But if you haven't been in the Word, how are you going to get the words in the time that you need them? He brings them back to our remembrance. Preparation will get you ready for game day. And when you prepare, you go at it with all you got. I don't know if any of you has been like this. You'll get to reading the Word, and you're studying, you're writing things down, you're looking at this concordance and that concordance. Now you go up online, and you're bringing up all these different translations, and you started at 8 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden, it's noon. Where did the time go? That's preparation. You're ate up with it. You can't get enough of it. I'm reading Esther the other night. I'm thinking, man, this girl here. it was like a novel. I couldn't put it down. But my eyes were getting heavy. So let me read just a couple of more words. And then after about chapter 4, I said, okay, I got to go to bed. But the word was eating me up. I couldn't put it down. That's preparation. In order to be an elite Christian, to be an elite person that God wants you to be, there has to be extreme preparation. It can't be casual. Well, I read 5 chapters today. What'd you get out of that? Well, it was in Corinthians, I think. Well, which one? First or second? Well, I think it was first. That's casual Christian. That's casual preparation. We can't be like that. If we want to do the things that God's called us to do, we can't prepare like that. We got to prepare, practice as if it's game time. We're ready to go. We're ready to run. We're not slowing down. When I was in high school, played basketball. Played basketball when I was started in fifth grade until I graduated high school. Starting five, all that time. Okay. All right. Anyway. But in order to play basketball, you had to go out for cross country. Minimum 5 miles every night you were running starting in August. Running 5 miles every night, and then you had cross country meets on top of that. If you didn't go out for cross country, you weren't allowed to play basketball. Why did they want us to go out for cross country? They were preparing us, getting us in shape for game day, for basketball, actually getting us in shape for practice. And then the practice, we're honing our fundamental skills for game day. We spent 3 months, 4 months, just running 5 miles every night. One time I decided I was going to take a shortcut, me and about 3 or 4 other guys. We're running this 5 mile block, and there's a fence row down the middle of this cornfield. Nobody's watching. We cut across that little fence row right there. We get to the other end. Guess who's standing at the other end? The coach was standing at the other end. So we just ran 2.5 miles. So what did we have to do? Run the whole 5 mile block again. So we ran 7.5 miles that night. All because we took a shortcut. Shortcuts in preparation won't cut it. It won't get you strong. It won't get you the endurance that you need to be able to do the things that God's called you to do. Should we have a time every day that we spend time in the Word? Yeah. Should we have a time every day that we spend time in prayer? Yeah. I don't know that I do have designated times that I'll sit down, but a lot of times it's just in my daily walking around. Hey, God, what do you think about? Hey, God, should I do... That's one thing people don't realize. They think prayer is, oh, Father, how beest thou, wasest thou, eateth thou. No, it's just talking to God. Just talk to God. That's all he's asking you to do. One thing as I was preparing this, the Lord gave me, he says, preparation in the unseen hours is the number one separator between those who accomplish great things for God and those who only react to life and the attacks of the devil. Preparation is the number one separator. If you're not preparing to do the works of God, to do the things God to, man, you can. Man, I want the Holy Spirit to flow in this place. I want to see arms grow out and legs grow out. I want to see blind eyes open, ears open. I want to see all that stuff. What's it take? What's it going to take to get there? You can want all you want, but wanting won't get you anything. There's preparation, spending time with God, learning what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is all about, all the gifts that he's talking about in there, gift of faith, miracles, all those types of things. Have we spent time in there to find figure that stuff out? There's a NBA basketball player, some of you may know who he is, Steph Curry. Anyway. I was reading up a little bit about on him this last week, and it says he shoots 500 shots a day, 3,500 shots a week, 14,000 shots a month, 168,000 shots a year, and these are all practice shots. Preparation. This guy's one of the number one players in the NBA. That's all those are all practice shots. It goes on here to say he's been in the NBA for 15 years and has taken 2.5 million practice shots. In his entire game day career, he's only taken 15,000 shots. He's made 3,557 three-point shots and is considered the number one player in this area. He's taken 2.5 million practice shots and he's only made 3,000 three-pointers and he's the number one player in that area? Preparation prior to game day has taken him to an elite level that most kids, I want to be an NBA player. Well, the percentages of becoming an NBA player are very, very small. But he's prepared. What are we doing to prepare for the things of God? And I'm talking to me too. There's times when I should be doing something and I'm out kicking a ball or playing disc golf. So it applies to preachers too. What are we doing to go to that elite level? What are we doing to be effective in our communities? Are we spending time with him in the house? Your house, this house. How much time are we spending with him? I realize our jobs take us a minimum of 40 hours a week, but guess what? There's a whole bunch more hours in the day. And it doesn't mean that you have to put in another 8 hours studying the word. If you could, that'd be great. But it doesn't mean that you have to do that. But it means designate, say, God, I need more of you, and what is it that I need to do? In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. A sermon I preach, push back. Resisting means push back. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Lots of preparation in that those verses right there. He's telling us, first of all, in our preparation, okay, submit yourselves to God. Preparation number one. Then he's saying, okay, now resist the devil. Preparation number two. Then he goes on to say here, come near to God. More preparation. Wash your hands, you sinners. More preparation. Purify your hearts. More preparation. Humble yourselves, more preparation. And in the midst of all this preparation, what's the end result? What's the game day result? It says then he will lift you up at that point. But it requires to prepare in all these different areas. Lots of preparation. There's another, and some of you may know of her, Caitlin Clark. She was kind of big in the women's college finals this year. Plays for Iowa, number 22. And she has a daily thing that she does, conditioning. I mean, she's getting her body into shape, all these different types of things. I had a eighth grade basketball coach that we would run wind sprints. Everybody know what wind sprints are? Line to line, back and forth. I'm on the gym floor. He would run us so hard that there'd be many a nights I would have to sit at the top of the locker room stairs because I knew I'd fall down them if I started walking down the stairs. Ran us that hard, getting us conditioned. But same way with her. She works on ball handling. She shoots 100 three-point shots a day, 100 mid-range shots a day, and 100 free throws a day. And then she works on all the fundamentals at game speed. Part of her preparation to be able to be college basketball's number one woman athlete, be the first player picked in the WNBA draft this year. Women's pro basketball. But her coach said, I can't tell you how many events she's turned down in order to not turn down, including, I think it was the ESPYs, it's an ESPN award show. She turned that down where she was picked to be college's number one athlete. Turned it down. Why? Because she didn't want to miss practice. I hesitate to say some things because I hope you guys understand my heart here is that when we miss church, why? Something, I've been guilty of it. Something more fun came along. But she's saying here, she wouldn't go to this award show, nationally televised, ESPN, college basketball's most, or the most, the best college athlete of the year, and turned it down because she didn't want to miss practice. She goes on here to say, and that's probably been her biggest lesson, understanding what's important to do and what's not important to do. And learning how to say no. I had to learn how to say no. Rick was the go-to guy. He would do anything to help anybody at his own hurt, and I still do. But I know when to say no. It says, because that's hard for young people to understand, to say no. The question you need to ask yourself is, can it help me reach my goal? If the answer is no, then I shouldn't do it. It's not that we can't have fun. I like to have fun. Our pastor from up north, I was in a band called Too Much Fun, and I did some fun stuff, some goofy stuff. If there was video, you would, who is this guy? He's talking about, we ought to get the band back together and come down to Life Point and do a concert. And I thought, you know what? That would be too much fun. See how I did that? But if it's not going to help you reach your goal, then why are we doing it? If it's not going to advance the kingdom of God, not that we can't have fun, we can have fun, but if it's not going to advance the kingdom of God in any way, shape, or form, if we're not even in the fun, are we looking for opportunities to be able to share Jesus? If not, then why are we doing it? Five things as a Christian that are not optional in preparation. Number one is prayer. Prayer is the power plant of the church. That's something I heard for the last 3 years. People who will devote time specifically to pray for this church, the people in this church, our communities, those types of things. It's the power. It's where power is. In our personal prayer life, and then also we have on the second Tuesday, and everybody's welcome to come. On the second Tuesday of every month, this church and two other churches in town meet here at our church, and we pray for about an hour about our community, about various things. And the Lord will speak to some of us, and we'll have a word for the group and about what's going on. But we'll get together and we'll pray. We have prayer here on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock. Praying for a number of different things, but to me it's so important to pray for our church here too. I would say the last 2 weeks that we've met, something has broke. To me, the last 2 weeks we've met, the prayer has been unbelievable. We'll finish praying, and the first 2 weeks ago that we met, I'm not sure anybody wanted to leave. We started talking, just sharing different things that were on our heart, and it's like we could have kept going. This last week we met at 6 o'clock. Same thing started happening. We're sensing the Spirit of God moving in our prayer life. We believe that as we pray here, there's 7, 8, 9 of us that meet here on a Tuesday night. When we pray, we believe that we affect this community, but we believe that our prayers affect the world. Our prayers go worldwide from these seats right here. It's the power plant of the church. And we've got a great core. And I'm encouraging you guys to come to these second Tuesdays, to come to our Tuesday night prayer. I meet with another group that meets every 6 weeks. We come here. And it's some RMAI, Rhema guys, they meet here. And we'll get here at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'll pray till 4. You guys pray for three, four hours? Yeah, we do. And the time flies by. There will even be times in our prayer that we'll sit there, and we may sit there and nobody says anything for 15, 20 minutes. Just total silence. Wait, I mean, we don't need to keep talking all the time. There comes a time when we got to listen a little bit too. That's part of the preparation process. And the Lord will speak to somebody, and we'll share that with the group. And it's like, oh man, breakthrough. We see it's either breakthrough right now, or we see the breakthrough coming. It's all preparation. We get together in these preparation times. Number one thing is prayer. We get together and we prepare through prayer to become those elite people, to do those things that God's called us all to do. The second thing is the Word. We get our instructions from the Word. You want to know the will of God? It's in His Word. It's not in some book written by somebody. We can get something out of that, but a lot of times that's man's opinion in that book on something. The Word of God is our instruction manual. Somebody used to say years ago, Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. I don't know if I agree with that totally the way it's worded, but I get it. This is our instruction manual on how we're to operate while we're here on the earth. Preparation. If we're in the Word, or if we're not in the Word, then we're not preparing to do the things that God's called us to. We're not preparing to walk out the will of God in our lives. Because why? Because we don't know the will of God for our lives. Ouch. The third thing is taking time to just sit in the presence of God, listening. We don't always have to talk. I mentioned it here just a few minutes ago. There's times in our prayer that we'll sit and we'll be quiet. 15, 20 minutes. Nobody's saying anything. But we're listening because we want the Holy Spirit to speak to us. We want a word to come. And it usually does. But sometimes we just need to be quiet. Number four, attending church regularly. This is part of the preparation process. Five things for Christians that are not optional in preparation. And one of them is attending church regularly. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 23, it says, let us hold strong to the confession of our hope, never wavering, since the one who promised it is to us is faithful. Let us consider how to inspire each other to great love and righteous deeds, not forgetting to gather as a community, as some have forgotten, but encouraging each other, especially as the day of his return approaches. Lots of preparation in that verse there. It says, be strong. Hold on. Don't waver. Inspire each other. When we come together, we're here to encourage one another. We're here to inspire one another. We're here to share life experiences with one another. We're here to pray with one another. That's why we come to church. And it goes on here to say, and we're gathering as a community, encouraging one another. Why? Because he's coming back. And he wants us to be a strong, united body, prepared and ready for his return. Well, part of the preparation is those things that we just mentioned here, and to go out and to share those things with other people, bringing them into the kingdom, encouraging them to do the same thing. Back, just a process going over and over. But we got to spend time as a body of believers encouraging each other in those things. There's people who are shy to share their faith. There's people who only will share certain things about their faith. And we can't. And when we get together and we encourage one another, I said it before, I believe, a bunch of high school kids when I was teaching youth group, we had a white chair up on the stage, all the lights out, a white light shining right on the chair, and it was called I Am Second. And they got to share their I Am Second story, which was, here's where I was, here's the journey I was on, and here's where I am now, born again. And at the very end, they'll say, my name is so-and-so, and I am second. God is first. So they're in a safe place, in church, in youth group, sharing this in front of their friends so that when they leave that place, they've already shared their story one time to be able to go into their school district and in their high schools, grade schools, whatever it may be, and they've already shared it. They know what to say. But it was preparation back here in the youth group, sitting in a chair with the lights out, a light shining on you in front of your friends. That can be intimidating for a teenager. But I gave them a week to prepare to be able to do this. And they all did it. We videotaped it, and it was great, and great things are happening because of it. But we got to meet together. The word translated church in English Bibles means to literally to assemble the called. If you're a born-again believer, we are called to assemble one to another. Now, does it mean always that we meet in a church? You might come to my house, and we're coming together, and we're encouraging each other in my house. But I believe that this is a part of it too, right here in this church building. It implies members have said yes to God's call on their lives. We assemble because we are called into being by God Himself. Some people, for reasons only they know, choose to live their Christian's lives in isolation. Man. There should never, ever be any Lone Rangers in the body of Christ. I'm going to land this plane here in about 3 minutes. So, Pastor, are you telling me that I have to come to church? Are you telling me when I have to come to church? No, I'm not telling you anything like that. But when I notice somebody's not here, I'm noticing their physical body's not here. But one thing I'm noticing is their supply's not here. The words that they may have said to somebody here to encourage them, because we're supposed to gather together to encourage one another, that supply is not here anymore. And so we miss out on whatever that is. Granted, I realize there's things in life that come up that we got to go do and we take care of and those types of things. Guess what? I'm not going to be here next Sunday. The preacher's not going to be here. Well, I told him before I got here, a friend of mine in Bible college was getting married and he asked me to be in his wedding. So I'll be in Joplin, Missouri next Sunday morning. But we're in capable hands. But you're right. I'm not going to tell anybody that they have to come to church. I'm just saying in the preparation, there are things we need to say to one another to encourage one another. And this is one of the areas where we need to meet and be there for one another. The last thing that I had here on these five things is giving of our time. I talked to Lonnie this morning. I'm buying some trim for back around that kitchen opening tomorrow. And we kind of formulated a plan, but I need somebody to help paint it, put it up, fill the nail holes, all that type of stuff. Giving of our time, our talents, and the money God has entrusted to us. It's one thing I learned a long time ago. The money that I have in my bank account, that's not mine. If God tells me to give everything I have away, it's His. Maybe my kids wouldn't be happy about that. But if He asked me to give it away, it's His. Carrie and I, when we got married, we have a budget. I got paid every 2 weeks. The very first thing on our budget was our tithes and offerings. That was given before we did anything else. It was not optional. If the rent bill came around and it looked like we're going to be short on that there, I said, okay, Lord, you said all the silver and gold are yours and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I need you to kill a cow because we got to pay the rent. And he always killed a cow. Always sent me some gold, some silver, whatever it may be. I never missed a bill ever. And we lived life sometimes when we had $5 to last from paycheck to paycheck. One time we had $1. All the bills were paid. We had $1 in our bank account to get us to the next 2 week paycheck. But because we were faithful throughout all these years, we've increased and we've increased and we've increased all along the way. So when I talk about my money not being my money, it's not my money, it's His money. If He tells me to dump it all into LifePoint or dump it into somebody's life at LifePoint, it's theirs. I guess I want to end this sermon this morning. We're not even halfway done. It's going to be, when I get back, we're going to continue this. But think about it. Maybe even yet today, how am I preparing for the things of the kingdom of God throughout my week? Am I spending time in prayer? Am I spending time in the Word? When we're talking about those people who leave the church come to church and then they live their lives in isolation, one of the biggest reasons that they do is a lot of times when church is over, when that last amen is said, that the car was left running and from the start of service, and they jump right in that thing and they take off. That's something. Let's pack out Yoders. Let's make them reserve the restaurant for us. But let's be a part of one another's lives. I said from the very beginning, we want to build relationships here. We want the things of God to permeate this place. And so what are we doing throughout the week to prepare to do the work of the ministry that God's called us to do? We can talk about to get anybody born again? Are we looking to share Jesus with anybody? I believe in all the other stuff too. Healing, gifts of the Spirit, I believe in all that stuff. But man, is there somebody I can share Jesus with this week that doesn't know Him? Because until they know Jesus, that other stuff doesn't matter to them. Get in the Word. Go to Romans chapter 10. Figure out what it says about people being born again, and then be able to share that with people you come in contact with. Preparation, preparation, preparation. Preparation will take us to the next level. Father, I just thank you this morning for the service and the people that have come here this morning. And Father, we realize that we can't be casual Christians. We can't just sit around and expect things to fall on us or expect things to happen with no effort. So Father, here this morning, I personally, and those who would agree with me, we commit ourselves to be more of who you want us to be, to do the things that it takes to get to where you want us to be. When you tell us to act, we act. And when you tell us to be quiet, we be quiet too. But Father, we know that we don't leave you here. We know that you go with us. You'll lead us, you'll guide us into all truth. You'll show us how to prepare. In the times when things are going good, Father, we're still preparing because we know trials are going to come our way. And when they do come our way, we're prepared to meet them head on.